Hello again. This is Luma Digest. I'm Noura, and this is your afternoon edition for Saturday, the 16th of May. Right, so I have been staring at one set of numbers all day, and I cannot stop thinking about what they mean. North American companies ordered over 1,600 collaborative robots in the first quarter of this year. That is a 56% jump in units from the same quarter last year. Now, if you have been following robotics for a while, you know that cobots usually sit at around 5 to 10% of total industrial robot orders. They are the flexible ones, the safe to work beside humans ones, the ones that do not require safety cages. In Q1 2026, they hit 18% of all orders. But here is the thing. The story is not really in the percentage, it is in who is buying them. Life sciences and pharma companies, 61% of their total robot orders were cobots. Semiconductors and electronics, 46%. These are not automotive assembly lines. These are R&D labs, fabrication plants, precision manufacturing environments where the bottleneck has never been raw speed. It has been quality and flexibility, the ability to reconfigure a line without shutting down production for 3 days, the ability to work alongside human operators who are doing the high-skill tasks that still need a human touch. What that tells me is that the cobot value proposition has finally landed outside the traditional adopters. The industries that have been watching from the sidelines, they are not watching anymore. Think about that for a second. Now, completely different corner of the tech world, but stay with me because this one properly surprised me. PFF, a software company, ran a 3-month experiment. They took 2 engineers, backed them with AI agents, and put them head-to-head with a team of 10 engineers. Same code base, same customers, same product. The 2 engineers shipped 5 times a day. The 10 engineers shipped once every 5 days. Code complexity stayed equal. Customer satisfaction went up. Okay, so that is already wild, but what happened next is the bit I keep coming back to. PFF's CTO stopped asking, "How do we help engineers go faster?" and started asking, "How do we make the agents faster instead?" Stand-ups vanished because tickets auto-update from pull request state. Sprint planning disappeared because estimates became irrelevant the moment the bottleneck shifted from humans to compute. Code review split in 2. Agents handle style and naming conventions. Engineers own system design. What remained was a 2-day huddle and a QA agent that spins up on staging after every merge to verify acceptance criteria against the ticket. This was not efficiency theatre. This was not, "We automated some tasks and saved a few hours." This was a different organisational structure built around agentic capability, not human coordination. The takeaway, the shape of software teams is changing. Not because agents are replacing engineers, but because the constraints that shaped how we organise work no longer apply. If your bottleneck is not human time anymore, sprint planning does not make sense. If tickets update themselves, stand-ups are just theatre. Worth thinking about for your own setup, right? Okay, moving to security now, and this is the one that made my day. Microsoft shipped something called M-Dash. It is a multi-agent security system. Over 100 AI agents working together to hunt for vulnerabilities in Windows. They tested it on the industry standard CyberGym benchmark, and it outperformed Anthropic's Mythos and OpenAI's GPT-5.5. Then they turned it loose on Windows itself. Found 16 real vulnerabilities. 4 of them were critical. Now here is what stood out to me. The advantage was not in better models, it was in coordination. Multiple agents searching in parallel, verifying each other's findings, chaining together multi-step exploits that a single model would miss. This is not about making AI smarter. It is about making systems that can break down a complex problem into steps that can be verified. What this really means is that the frontier for security is not in training bigger models. It is in building systems that can orchestrate what we already have. Let that sink in. Right, so Cerebras went public this week. The company that bet everything on building massive wafer-scale chips for AI workloads. The IPO values them at $60 billion. Their CFO confirmed on the earnings call that they are serving trillion-parameter OpenAI models, specifically GPT-5.4 and GPT-5.5. These are inference workloads, not training runs. Now the interesting bit is not the valuation, it is the shift this represents. For years, the prestige in AI infrastructure was in who could train the biggest model the fastest. Cerebras positioned themselves there, but the market moved. The money is now in inference, serving models, running them at scale for millions of users. The architecture that wins at training is not necessarily the architecture that wins at inference. Cerebras made a contrarian bet on custom silicon years ago when everyone else was buying GPUs. That bet is paying off now because inference economics are different. Lower latency matters, cost per token matters, and wafer-scale chips can optimize for both in ways that GPU clusters cannot. Bottom line, the compute market is splitting. Training infrastructure is one game, inference infrastructure is another, and the players positioning for inference are the ones to watch. Last one. And this is for anyone building agentic workflows. So there is a tool called CarryFeed. It provides structured API access to public Twitter content for agents. Now you might be thinking, Twitter already has an API? Why does this matter? Here is why. Most agent frameworks struggle with logged-in social interfaces. They either scrape the page and lose context, or they use browser automation and hit rate limits. CarryFeed solves this by keeping URLs, author context, and media relationships intact. Clean public data extraction without the browser overhead. The broader point here, and this connects to something the founder of BrowserMan wrote this week, is that browser delegation should be a last resort, not a default. APIs, CLIs, and MCP servers should be preferred. Browser automation is valuable for workflows that only exist in authenticated UIs, but the product requirement is scoped, logged, and revocable access. What I keep coming back to is this. We are building agents that need to interact with the web as it exists today, not as we wish it existed. That means solving for the messy reality of platforms that were not designed with agents in mind. Tools like CarryFeed and services like BrowserMan are filling that gap. But the long-term answer is not better scraping, it is better APIs. So, stepping back from all of that, here is what I keep coming back to. Cobots are finding their place outside automotive. Agentic workflows are reshaping how software teams organize. Security systems are outperforming frontier models through coordination, not raw capability. And the infrastructure market is splitting between training and inference, with different players winning in each. Something to think about over the rest of your weekend. And that is your Luma Digest for this afternoon. Thanks for being here. I will see you in the next one.